Helping you stay coordinated on our Thursday show, you always hear from offensive and defensive coordinators Charlie Weiss Jr. and Glenn Spencer on the program. That's coming up here in this segment. In our second segment, some baseball observations along with a sailing interview as we are your sailing show. Okay, I'm trying to get more sailing on the program and we'll certainly do it in this particular show. Reminding you that since this is a earlier game week with the contest on Friday night, that we move things up a little bit. Normally, Jim Lauck and Tom Zeebold record the Inside South Florida Football program on Thursday because the week's practices are all done. You get their observations. Well, since Wednesday was the team's last practice, hopefully you followed us on Twitter at Bulls Unlimited and knew that the show debuted yesterday, but there are plenty more chances to hear it. Again, follow us on Twitter for the full schedule. And hopefully, if not the whole 30 minutes, you've been able to listen to the very end of the 2018 game against Tulsa, the last time these teams played. In a word, that ending is... It's worth your time. Again, fast forward, a program that I started off when we started off this channel in 2017 is a football game condensed to 30 minutes. Now, we haven't done it with any of the games this year because, frankly, it takes 3 hours to condense it to 30 minutes, and I've been kind of busy, but some of these old games, it's really good to get that thumbnail version of the game, and in that case, it was all about the fourth quarter. Naturally, the Bulls are going to have to start off a lot stronger in this one because Tulsa, even though it's a team the Bulls have never lost to, this is clearly a different version of the Golden Hurricane and one that's going to challenge them greatly. Speaking of shows on the channel, one that it's been a while. It's been a couple months, as a matter of fact, because the man's had a lot on his plate, the man being Michael Kelly. Well, guess what? Thursday is the return of Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly, and his guest is going to be women's basketball head coach Jose Fernandez. So look for that to air late on Thursday afternoon, in addition to our traditional Thursday programming, which is, of course, the nightcapper, the West Virginia game, but also the Auburn game from that season. We'll throw in some other contests as well overnight. UCF's always a fun one to listen back to. And, of course, we'll have live coverage starting at 5:30 from Raymond James Stadium and from Amalie Arena. We'll set up the broadcast for you a little bit more in our second block. And in this block, we'll update you on a Bulls opponent, namely the Citadel. Thought it was interesting, the release, the first time anyway, of a conference, one of those FCS conferences, the SoCon, announcing what their schedule is going to be like in the spring. I'm actually looking forward to spring football with other teams involved because there's going to be enough Bulls teams on the field to keep me busy, to keep everybody busy, and to keep these airwaves real busy with contests. But we'll be able to watch college football, not the FBS level, but the FCS level. And you'll find it very interesting, I think, what happened to the Citadel with the schedule release. But let's start off with the USF Bulls, who are playing Tulsa this week. Charlie Weiss Jr. on that game effort, but tough defeat against Temple, and really having to put it in the rearview mirror quicker than normal.
I mean, it was obviously a very disappointing loss. It was tough and very, emotional, and had a great opportunity to win the game and just didn't finish the right way. But I've been really proud of the players and how they've responded. I think they've had the right attitude coming out here and having the mindset to continue to work to get it right and continue to get better each and every week. So I've been proud of the progress, and obviously short week. And we're playing a really good defense against Tulsa. They got a really good scheme. And so it's really important for us to really nail down what they're doing. So a lot of our physical work is done, but we still have plenty of mental work to go prior to this game.
It was pretty cool being out there on Wednesday, as that's the day I procure my conversations with the coaches along with the player. And this week, by the way, it is going to be Day-Day, Daquan Evans. You can call him Day-Day. You'll hear him. And he has really been opening some eyes, made that big pick down the sidelines. USF Football Twitter page put out a nice breakdown of that particular interception. You can go to their page right now and check it out. Well, wait until the show's over. Then go to @USFFootball. But Day-Day is the guy you'll hear from tomorrow. But I always get to witness the end of practice. And it did hit me as Coach Scott was addressing the team, because he spoke to them for a little bit longer than normal at the end of practice, that this was the last practice of the week, because it had that, without sharing what he said, final post-practice speech. He's really big on getting messages across. Just an outstanding communicator. So is his offensive coordinator, who we continue with, Charlie Weiss, on why the offense is in a better groove these days.
I think it's not just Jordan, but maybe just the offense as a whole. Maybe early in the year, a couple things, with the virus going on and having certain players out, up front especially, it's pretty well documented. And then overall, us too, just finding our groove of who are the players we're trying to get the ball to. You know, Johnny Ford's kind of emergence.
And I love the fact that they're getting the ball into Johnny Ford's hands as much as possible.
And then, you know, finally, this has been the last 2 weeks, you know, we've had our offensive line kind of in shape and with our starters in. And I think that shows, you know, how their improvement from the first game against ECU. Talked about a lot of communication errors. And then we go against Temple, and those guys up front were much better with that stuff and making the right calls and going to the right people. So Jordan certainly a factor in that and sticking with him. But I think it's just the offensive continuity as a whole playing the same guys.
One of those guys who's been pretty consistent this season and had a nice play against Temple, Devontrius Odoms-Dukes, and that touchdown is the type of physical play that, according to Charlie, we'll need to see from the receivers against a like-minded and very physical Golden Hurricanes secondary.
Absolutely. So with their corners, they're tall and long and physical, and so you definitely have to play extremely physical. So this week in practice, you know, we've had our scout team corners do a great job of, hey, get up in their face, be in their grill, be physical, and dominate them. So you really got to get that look from the scout team. They've done a great job of doing that right there. But from the receiver perspective, you know, it's just really a challenge to play physical, and you got to play every play. You can't take any plays off, because these guys are going to play hard every single play. And if you take a play off, they're going to embarrass you and put you to the sideline. So it's really that mentality of going out there and playing physical like Dukes did on his touchdown.
That was just a great confusion released by Charlie Weiss on that play. And it made the defensive back put his eyes in the backfield. Dukes is running behind him. Easy throw and catch by McLeod and Dukes. Great job by USF.
You see how easy it is when you play like that to have some production.
Definitely wanted to throw that clip of Sam Barrington in there giving Charlie his due, because Charlie Weiss is not going to brag on himself. Here he is bragging on his team, really appreciating their effort and their outlook and their attitude.
Extremely. I mean, I think it says a lot about our guys and the things that they've gone through from the offseason to, you know, starting off slow this year and even, you know, starting the game down 10-0 pretty quick in the first quarter. I didn't think they blinked and continued to fight and claw and make their way. And, you know, we really played to win. And obviously it just didn't go our way, but extremely proud of this team and how they've continued to grow and not quit and not give up and continue to fight. So it's very encouraging. We just got to continue to make that progress, and, you know, the results will eventually show.
And if you want to hear my conversation with the coach, that'll be in hour two of our pregame. So that'll hit right around 6:50. I'll give you the exact timings, as we always give you the rundown on Friday's Bulls Beat and on our Twitter page. But if you can't wait until then, we'll hook you up on the show. Hooking you up with Glenn Spencer as well, and he knows they got to be ready for this bunch. And on a short week, yeah, it's stressful.
As a player, I used to like it, but as a coach, it's pressing, because you basically have to, you know, prepare red zone, short yardage, goal line, third down, you know, normal down distance, all that in one day, where you usually have 2 days to split it up. As a coach, you always feel, you know, the pressure to get quality reps, and obviously you're not going to have the amount of reps you would in a normal week, so that always stresses us out, probably more than the players. But you never know. It's just you just got to wait and see how they're going to react to it. I've seen both sides of it, you know, of how they're going to respond.
And one more from Coach Spencer, who is familiar with Tulsa's quarterback, Zach Smith, in this, his redshirt senior season. Remember the guy that quarterbacked for Tulsa back when the game was at Raymond James Stadium a few seasons ago, Seth Boomer. He's actually still on the roster, but he has had to take a back seat to Smith, who came in last year and started every single game, sixth on the school's single season passing list. And then this season, well, it's early to say. Remember, they really struggled against Oklahoma State, but then against UCF, threw for 273 and three scores and helped calmly lead the Golden Hurricane from down 23-5. Defense had a lot to do with it, but that particular performance showed that he knows what he's doing. Now, he was at Baylor when Coach Spencer was the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, so he knows all about him.
It's not only Zach, but it's Coach Montgomery, you know, who I have a lot of respect for. Faced him a few times. Unfortunately, I'm one of those guys that contributed to him getting the head job at Tulsa, you know, coming out of Baylor with all those explosive offenses they had. But no, Zach, he looks like he's in the mold of the, you know, Florence's and the Griffins and the, I mean, I can list them. There's about four or five of them right there out of a 8-year span. It's like production didn't change. The numbers didn't change. They're always leading the nation. For that offense, if you can pitch it and catch it well enough, like he can, right, know the look that he wants and is accurate with his throws, with the quick releases on the RPOs, that just enables him to run football. I could write a book on the Baylor offense, which is what this is. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be a bestseller coming from me against it, but I'm in line with a lot of others. They know how to stretch the field and they know how to find windows. But in order for it to be effective, you got to have a Zach Smith a mature Zach Smith now is dangerous.
By the way, Coach Spencer being pretty modest there. When Phillip Montgomery was the OC at Baylor for 4 years, preceding him getting hired as the Tulsa head coach, Oklahoma State and Baylor went 2-2 against each other, although the two Baylor wins, they did put up 49 points. And it is interesting that Smith is a Baylor transfer, but he did not actually play for Phillip Montgomery. I'm going to guess that he was involved in his recruiting, but Montgomery left after the 14 season, and Smith's freshman year was 2016. As a sophomore against Oklahoma State and Glenn Spencer, Zach Smith was 11 of 28 for 127 yards and no touchdowns. Urge you to tune in to the pregame show for the whole thing, obviously, but first hour is when my conversation with Glenn Spencer hits, and what he says about Dwayne Boyle's leadership was just awesome. Said we'd tell you about the Bulls' first opponent, the Citadel, as the Southern Conference, one of the FCS leagues that'll be playing in the spring, all of them will be, announced its schedule. Starts February 20th, last week of the regular season is April 17th. Now, there are 9 teams in the conference. They'll all play each other for a total of 8 games. Problem for the Citadel is, there were a handful of SoCon teams that played in the fall. They were the only one that played 4 games. You're allowed a maximum of 11, so they could only play 7 in the spring. So the league did a blind draw, and Furman was the lucky team that gets a forfeit win against the Citadel. The Bulldogs are pretty much going to have to win that conference, go 7-0 in the games they do play on the field. If you want to read the whole details, go to SoConSports.com. I'll be watching some FCS football in the spring while every sport but football will be playing for USF. One of them is soccer, which, of course, is normally a fall sport. We've been playing games that aired 1 year ago today, and 1 year ago today, the men's soccer team of Bob Buthorn got a pretty important tie against FIU, which was undefeated. Bulls ended up getting into the NCAA tournament, and FIU ended up not getting in. Those teams were probably right next to each other on the bubble, so it was an important tie. One sport that is a split season sport normally is golf, but they're going to just be the spring this year, but they're getting a lot of work done. Did you see women's standout Ramya Meenakshisindrum hold in for eagle on the par 4-6 at Tampa Palms? Another split season sport, sailing. We're going to talk to one of those individuals next, along with some observations from baseball practice and more. Stay tuned.